This talk was given by Linda Shinji Hoffman at the Zen Center of New York City. Shinji is a senior lay student in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs,
visit us online at zmm.org/ZCNYC.
Thanks for listening.
Good morning. My name is Shinji. I'm grateful to the abbot of this temple, Hojin Sensei, who asked me to give this talk while she is in New Zealand with our affiliate Sangha there, giving instruction and training. Great, great thanks to Robin and Onren and all who worked on the film. Where do we go from here? We are doing the work in our Sangha with love, with tears, with struggle, by facing our demons, our hurts, our errors, and our responsibilities, all with deep listening and vulnerable sharing. That's what we heard in the film. Always and always with love and consideration for each other, grounded in our Buddhist teachings that we are one body, one mind, not separate, not alone. We are standing with compassion, standing for justice and peace. In Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech in 1967, titled, "Where Do We Go From Here?" 1 year before Dr. King was assassinated, he wrote, "And so I say to you today that I will stand for nonviolence. And I am still convinced that it is the most potent weapon available in our struggle for justice in this country. And the other thing is, I am concerned with a better world. I'm concerned about justice. I'm concerned about brotherhood. I'm concerned about truth. And when one is concerned about that, he can never advocate violence. For through violence, you may murder a murderer, but you can't murder murder. Through violence, you may murder a liar, but you can't establish truth. Through violence, you may murder a hater, but you can't murder hate through violence. Darkness cannot put out darkness. Only light can do that." And he continued, "And I say to you, I have also decided to stick with love, for I know that love is ultimately the only answer to mankind's problems. And I'm going to talk about it everywhere I go. I know it isn't popular to talk about it in some circles today. And I'm not talking about Bosch when I talk about love. I'm talking about a strong, demanding love, for I've seen too much hate." Today, we celebrate the birth of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. When I see photos of him, there is always a light in his eyes. He's so alive. In love, one could say, in love with his people, with all people, with God, with his life, with his commitment to the beloved community. This optimism is his strength and greatness. A deep, deep optimism in the face of so much pain, injustice, lies, betrayal. How do we do that and still go on? The only way we can hold such optimism is because we are in touch with the essence of the human heart. Dr. King knew his heart. He knew what mattered. And we must know our own hearts in order to carry this optimism forward, an optimism based in his belief in nonviolent social change. The human heart. So I am a sculptor, and I made a sculpture of this vision for myself and for others. A heart, you can imagine, in three dimensions. It's in bronze, but covering this heart are small people all over the heart. So when you look closely, you see each individual one all together. Some large, some small, some holding a child, some more alone. One heart, everyone. Dr. King's idea for a beloved community was for all people, that we can all share the resources of this great earth, that racism and discrimination because of gender, sexual orientation, religious or political beliefs will have no place. That we will come to know our sisters and brothers from all backgrounds and all nations with openness and curiosity without judgment. We will see all people deserving the same happiness we desire, deserving a good life with meaningful work and family and friends, just as we want this for ourselves. On May 31st, 1966, so the prior year, Dr. King met with the Vietnamese Buddhist master Thich Nhat Hanh. There are no records of that conversation. They had that in private. But they issued a joint statement, which I'm going to read. We believe that the Buddhists who have sacrificed themselves, and he's referring to those in Vietnam, like the martyrs of the civil rights movement, do not aim at the injury of the oppressors, but only at changing their policies. The enemies of those struggling for freedom and democracy are not people. They are discrimination, dictatorship, greed, hatred, violence, which lie within the heart. These are the real enemies. These poisons are no different than the delusions that the Buddha pointed out as the cause of suffering. When we chant, "May all beings be free from suffering and the root of suffering," it is greed, anger, hatred, and judgment that are the roots. That's why we need to study the self. How do we end our self-clinging? To study the self is to forget the self. We sit down on our cushion and stop long enough to see ourselves, to see our own greed, anger, errors. And that's the way we begin to dissolve it, to transform it. The second part of their joint statement is, we also believe that the struggles for equality and freedom in Birmingham, Selma, and Chicago, as in Hue, Da Nang, and Saigon, are aimed not at the domination of one people by another. They're aimed at self-determination, peaceful social change, and a better life for all human beings. And we believe that only in a world of peace can the work of construction, of building good societies everywhere, go forward. Let us root out the delusion, the three poisons, greed, anger, ignorance, and transform them to generosity, loving kindness, equanimity, patience. We know that it are these delusions and judgments and the selfishness that resides in the hearts and minds of human beings that must be seen and transformed. Whenever we suffer, we are caught by grasping, by clinging, by making ourselves more important than another. When Dr. King said, "You can kill a murderer, but not kill murder," it is the anger inside the heart. It is not the person. So many times we harm out of the harm inflicted on us by others. We need to see all of this. Our past behaviors, in order to change how we react in the present and create different karma. In my What is Whiteness group, our affinity group, we're reading Rezma Menakin's beautiful book, My Grandmother's Hand. And I'm so grateful for the MRO, the Mountains and Rivers Order teachers, that require this work from all students. It is part of our Dharma training. It's foundational. This week, the chapter was on the vagus nerve. And Menakin calls this the soul nerve. And I had never heard of it. But it's this nerve that comes like from the limbic system, and it's huge, and it comes down into the heart space, the lungs, but there's two parts to it. And the other part goes down the back and goes all into the hara, our belly, the digestive system. It is this nerve that carries all of our reactivity and our fear and our anxiety, as well as our well-being and feelings of connectedness. And in this chapter, he's offering exercises to bring calm to it, to bring that state of feeling connected. We relate to each other in our bodies, and we need to be together. And so I'm very grateful for you all that you came today, because when we come together and we sit and we chant in person, we sing and we join, we really share. We share this world. This is how we relate to each other and we heal ourselves. We embody together the beloved community. 2 years after Thich Nhat Hanh and Dr. King met for that first time, they attended the World Council of Churches Conference, Pachamin Terrace, Peace on Earth in Switzerland. Thich Nhat Hanh later said, "We were able to continue our discussion on peace, freedom, and community, and what kind of steps America could take to end the war. And we agreed that without a community, we cannot go very far. Without a happy, harmonious community, we will not be able to realize our dream." I said to him, "Martin, do you know something? In Vietnam, they call you a bodhisattva, an enlightened being trying to awaken other living beings and help them move toward more compassion and understanding." I'm glad, this is still Thich Nhat Hanh saying, I'm glad I had the chance to tell him that, because just a few months later, he was assassinated in Memphis. The Vietnam master later recalled, "I was in New York when I heard the news. I was devastated. I could not eat. I could not sleep. I made a deep vow to continue building what he called the beloved community, not only for myself, but for him also. I have done what I promised to Martin Luther King Jr., and I think I have always felt his support." Our Sangha is continuing the work of Dr. King's beloved community to grow our love and our trust and send it out every day to all those places in the world that so, so need it. We can do this. This is our vow. Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. On this anniversary of Reverend King's birth in 1929, so he would be 95 years old. We celebrate him. He was a Mahasattva. Maha means great. And great people, those who occupy a large world stage, come along rarely. But they inspire us, and they need us to continue their work. Look at a photo of Dr. King and see that light in his eyes, the light of determination, conviction, and compassion. Let us remember his eyes, his message of love, and his powerful voice. We cannot be silent. We too have to make our voices heard. We have to demand freedom. So before we leave each other's presence today, we're going to offer incense. Each of us have that opportunity as we commit to continue his work for all people who are oppressed in the world, in our country, in our city, in our hometown, and families. And all of you who wish will be setting up two haku boxes, and you can walk to the altar and each of you offer incense. And as we do this, we'll be chanting the four immeasurables, which you can find under your seat. And the four immeasurables, for those who are new, come directly from the Buddha. They are a practice that deepens equanimity, compassion, loving kindness, and joy. And they are called the four immeasurables because they are boundless. They have no measure, and they dissolve the boundaries that separate us. They open our hearts to find ease and freedom and compassion. They are practices that lead to awakening. And they are a way to send our love and care all over the world. And most importantly, into our own hearts. So let our chant hold us like the ocean holds the ships who ride the waves. Let the chant calm us and relax us. And let that vagus nerve relax and find peace and connectivity. So when you approach the box, you take a small pinch of incense, touch the third eye, the forehead, and you become one with the vow, with this prayer, with this offering. And then you will take a second pinch of incense and put it again on the charcoal. Make your own vow. Make it personal. What can you do to continue this work of the beloved community? When this offering draws to an end, we're going to hear a chant from one of our Dharma sisters, Robin, who also helped in the film. And then we'll do three bows together and end our morning program. Dr. King ended his speech, this speech, "Where Do We Go From Here?" saying, "This is my hope for the future. And with this faith," and by faith he's referring to his faith in nonviolence, he said, "We will be able to sing in some not too distant tomorrow, and with a cosmic past tense, we have overcome. We have overcome. Deep in my heart, I did believe we could overcome."
Thank you for listening. To find out more about the Zen Center of New York City's programs, retreats, and residency, please visit our website at zmm.org/zcnyc.